What is up, everybody? Happy Monday. I hope you all had a great weekend. John, how was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. How about yourself?
It was great. It was great. I did this Sunday live mock draft, which was fun. I had this whole desk to myself. I felt like Dwight in The Office when he gets like mega desk.
Oh, yeah. You know, I felt really bad. I was out of town. So, you know, you were here trying to figure it all out by yourself and getting it going. And I was sitting there in a car just talking on the phone. So I really appreciate you taking over. And
Thanks, of course.
Thanks everyone who tuned in and to everyone that actually joined us in our mock draft. Thank you guys. It was really fun for me.
Yeah, John actually all weekend, he was sitting in the brewery, man.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I got to check out some breweries in Savannah. Went there this weekend. Got to check out Southbound Brewery and Moon River Brewery. Picked up beer from both of them. Today we're drinking the one from Southbound.
And one of the ones from Southbound.
One of the ones from Southbound. And from so far how this one tastes, we'll probably be doing the other one that I got pretty soon.
Yeah.
This one right here is the Mountain Jam.
It's pretty dope.
It's a Southern Lager. It's a 5.0 ABV, and it's really light. And we'll get to a better review about the taste and after we get some more sips in.
Beautiful. I also, I don't know if you noticed or if they noticed, but we got a cool little piece of art up here.
Yeah. Luckily, when I was there, I checked out their merch, and they have this really sick little sign. So if you guys want to see what it looks like, check us out on YouTube. We do have videos of our live of our podcast every day, every episode.
You can see our beautiful faces.
You can see our faces and our wall that's slowly going to be decorated with the good breweries that we get beer from and that have some cool art for us.
And some NFL gear. I mean, we already got a terrible towel, the Dolphins pennant.
Yeah, and a Pirates only sign.
Our Pirates, baby.
Buccaneers, obviously. Come on.
Oh, no. Ugh. Anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. We have a freaking packed show for you today.
Yeah, we did.
I just kept adding stuff.
I know this
felt like it was never ending.
Yeah, we did our news episode last week, and that was supposed to be all of the off-season news, but even within a week, we have a handful of stuff that we're going to have to go over. A lot of stuff's going on. COVID's changing a little bit of things. The football's going on, so Mike, you want to jump into the news and tell them what's new?
I do. So, first of all, NFL, NFLPA, they agreed. Football's back. That's pretty good news, I would say.
That's awesome news.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be starting this the worst time.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, you guys started a podcast right as the NFL season was canceled. What are you doing? But that's not going to happen. We're staying optimistic. You guys should too. They're, you know, doing, I don't know if I was talking to John about it today, but the LA Rams posted something, or I'm sorry, the NFL posted something on their Instagram about the Rams facility. And we reposted that on our Instagram story today, just some precautions they're taking and how they're handling COVID. So, and that's pretty neat. Go check it out on NFL's Instagram page. But anyways, like I said, NFL, NFLPA, they came to an agreement. And a couple points I want to, you know, mention about it. I think this is kind of what got the deal done. Obviously, the players want safety first and foremost, which is, you know, what everybody should want. And then to make sure they're still going to get paid for the work they put in. So they are going to be paid on a prorated basis if the season does get cut short, which is positive. And then some of the things that the NFL, some activities, or they, I'm sorry, they, some restrictions they put on the players is they ban some activities, you know, going out to bars, having parties of more than 15 people and stuff like that, which is fineable now for this year. So,
good.
But overall, great news that it is, it's back, or it's coming.
Football's coming. Yeah, here we go. Ready for a great year?
Yeah, but to go along with it, unfortunately, to jump into our next piece is some people are opting out already, which is to be expected.
Yeah, you know, people do worry about what their families are going to be going through and don't want to get their families infected if they end up getting infected and go home for the night and find out the next day.
Yeah, and if, you know, at the end of the day, if the players don't feel safe or if somebody doesn't feel safe, I don't expect them nobody should expect them to get out there on the field, no matter the amount of money or anything like that they're making.
Absolutely.
If they're not feeling safe, then, you know, that's
No, it's them saying no to the money. You know, just because people who like us who don't make enough, we would obviously jump to that opportunity. It's different when you're actually in that situation, and they have that right as people.
Yeah, definitely. Safety first. A couple players that have already opted out. Laurent Duvernay-Tift, he was the right guard for the I'm tangled up here. The Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs. But they did sign another guard, Kelechi Osemele. And so they replaced him, which is good. Good for fantasy outlook. And then another wide receiver kick returner, D'Anthony Thomas, he opted out. And then the guard from Seattle, he opted out, Chance Wormack. So we will keep you updated as more players pop or opt out, and if there's any big names, which I'm not going to be surprised if there is.
Yeah, hopefully no one's stars end up deciding not to play this season. But if they do, handcuffs are going to be very valuable this season. So if you have that handcuff running back in your team, make sure you hold on to him and don't drop him for someone else that might be on the waivers.
Mm-hmm. 100%. John, you want to get into the next piece for some positive news?
Some positive news for all you guys that are holding on to Raheem Mostert. He just restructured his contract with San Francisco. They didn't add any extra years, but they did add some more money to it. So he's going to be happy while he's there, at least till it's time to restructure it or re-sign a new one. So you can hold on to him for a couple more years. You can feel secure drafting him this year and making sure that he's going to have some value for you and actually be on that team and not holding out and making sure he's going to be on the field for you.
Yeah, no, 100%. Currently, his ADP is... he's going off the board at running back 26, ADP 56 in a standard league. So some other running backs going around him are, my page, it reloaded. But anyways, right behind him, Jonathan Taylor at running back 27 and Todd Gurley at 25. I like Todd Gurley over Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, Todd Gurley is someone who's getting drafted pretty late for someone who can have so much potential. So I'd take him up on that.
Yeah. But, for the guys behind him, I do like Raheem there, especially in that offense. They restructured. He's happy. San Francisco's happy. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Following that, we've got a pretty remarkable story. Alex Smith got cleared.
That's insane,
Did you see that ESPN special?
I did not. No, I didn't. I really wanted to see it. It looked like it's going to be great. And now that we're talking about it, it might be what I fall asleep to tonight.
Yeah, because if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's amazing, from the game to the first surgery to he's losing his leg to, it's kind of gross. You see, all the infection and stuff. His leg is mangled. But... good thing is he's back. Do you think he has any fantasy value this year? I actually picked him up in one of our two quarterback leagues.
See, in a dynasty league, this year in a redraft league, I would not. Just because we don't, he hasn't played a game in a while. We don't know what he's been doing as far as training. Just because he's been cleared doesn't mean that he's ready to play. It just means that the team's, he's ready to practice and get back with the team.
Right.
So let him get some practice in, let him get some more training in, and then see how he ends up sitting. I would say in a dynasty league, he was someone that was balling out and having one of the best seasons of his career when he was getting hurt. And so pick him up in a dynasty and hold on to him.
Yeah, especially, like I said, two quarterback leagues. Potentially, we don't know what Dwayne Haskins is going to do. There's potential. Pick him up while you can, if you have that extra roster spot in a dynasty league or a two quarterback league. Just pick him up and hold him if there's nobody else there on the waivers. After that, our our Dolphins, baby. They grabbed, you know, this star tight end. No, not really a star.
I guess this is why the Bears was holding on to so many tight ends on their roster. Yeah, they're just going to start selling them off now, right now.
Seven, I think.
I mean, draft picks are great. You know, if you can hold on to people that you're going to end up getting cut anyways, and you start sending them off for third and fourth, fifth round picks somewhere.
Well, we sent to seven, thankfully.
Well, we're smart. Look at this rebuild. We're doing great.
Yeah.
But if you can get draft picks based off of players you were going to be cutting in the future anyways, might as well do it.
Yeah. So the player we're talking about is Adam Shaheen. You know, he had a pretty decent college. I was looking at his college stats the last 2 years. He had over 800 yards each of those years, and he has been injured quite a bit. You know, the past 3 years. He's missed some games. So, you know, fresh start in Miami. If it works out for Miami, then, you know, great. But I don't see him having,
no fantasy value whatsoever. I mean, the Dolphins are barely keep their tight ends relevant in fantasy. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be any secure spot, especially with Gesicki's breakout beginning last season and hopefully continuing into this season.
Yeah. So then following that piece of news, we got a pretty big trade. In the NFL world, Jamal Adams going from the Jets to the Seahawks. Do you think that affects, you know, any of the NFC West at all? You know, any of their receivers, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods?
It's really hard to predict how many interceptions your opposing quarterback is going to be throwing. Just because that you have, you know, the Legion of Boom 2.0 back there, possibly.
They're building.
So... I wouldn't, if anything, the hit's very, very minor. I mean, even for the Seahawks, when I'm doing their projections, I'm only adding, you know, maybe a drive and a half a game to maybe only a drive for the Seahawks based off of Jamal Adams being there and forcing a turnover and getting the ball back in Russell's hand a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it does affect them, it's such a slight value that it's not something I'm too worried about.
But you don't think it affects any of the receivers in that division, playing them twice a year? Minuscule, a little bit.
It's very minuscule. It's maybe on a per game basis. You might want to. It adds that I have to check that receiver week by week, make sure who they're matching up against, and see if maybe someone on my team has a better opportunity. But if you have a top tier receiver up against someone who's amazing as a safety, like Jamal Adams, you're not hoping to play them against them, but you're not. You're not sitting them.
You're not like going to sit them. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, you're not sitting. I'm playing DeAndre Hopkins regardless if he's playing Jamal Adams or if he's playing, you know, the Sisterhood of the Blind. he's going to be getting the ball. He's going to be fantasy relevant. You're playing him.
Yep. 100% agree there. I do think, you know, with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, you know, with the help of Quandre Diggs and Shaquille Griffin at cornerbacks paired with Jamal Adams. And then, of course, you got Bobby Wagner there in the linebacker spot. So I do think that, you know, they do now have the opportunity to shut down about half of the field. But I agree. I don't think it has too much fantasy impact. But anyways, let's keep moving. Did you see the Twitter beef today?
I did. We posted it on our story, Mr. Keenan Allen himself, someone who's honestly a little undervalued and overlooked for the amount of talent that he
has. As an NFL receiver,
and honestly, in my opinion, a little bit of fantasy.
Yeah.
He's not consistent in fantasy, but he's someone that's extremely talented and has that upside with him every season. But we were talking about the beef between Keenan Allen calling out Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, and Chris Goodwin.
Yeah, shout out Chris Goodwin. I went to the page that he tagged. Some random dude that hasn't been on Twitter since 2013.
Oh, I bet he got followers today.
He meant Chris Godwin.
Oh, good for him. So, but yeah, so we're talking about Keenan Allen saying that he is actually a better receiver than Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. And actually calling himself the best receiver in the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, let's go through the top receivers on each team. You've got Tyreek Hill, obviously, for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in my opinion, Tyreek Hill's a much more elite receiver than Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen might have that big body, a little bit of a bigger body, so he's able to maybe be more a little aggressive with his catches than
he runs better routes too
than Tyreek Hill can have. Tyreek Hill opens the field and changes how a defender plays him. Your defenders are still playing Keenan Allen how they play football, not to shut down a different skill set.
Mm-hmm.
So over Tyreek Hill, no.
What about Courtland Sutton?
No, not even close. Or, I'm sorry, Courtland Sutton's probably a little bit closer. I'm sorry, Tyreek Hill and Courtland Sutton's not even close.
Sorry.
Keenan Allen and Courtland Sutton. I would probably take Keenan Allen.
I would there.
I think that just the way the teams worked out, if Keenan Allen was on the Broncos, maybe not with Drew Lock, but when, you know.
I thought you were a Drew Lock lover, man.
Different skill sets.
Yes.
Again, different skill sets. It's hard to compare receivers at the higher end just because you're talking about how players play football, not who's better at the same way two players play football. But I would probably take Keenan Allen over Courtland Sutton.
I would. And then any of the Raiders receivers, yeah. I'm taking Keenan. So what about up against Chris Godwin and Mike Evans?
It's a little tougher. They're kind of all in that same tier break, like that same tier and at their own like archetype. I think Mike Evans is someone who, again, has always been undervalued and has that big body.
I see, especially after last year, I see Mike Evans and Keenan Allen in the same tier. Chris Godwin, a tier ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see how Chris Godwin does this year.
Yeah.
I think last year his stats were a little inflated by Jameis dumping the ball out everywhere. But that's not to say that maybe it was Mike Evans whose stats were inflated and just was a benefactor of
beneficiary
of, you know, I sat there for a second and questioned it and thought I was going to be right. But beneficiary of someone who's just throwing the ball deep and throwing the ball all over the place, hoping that someone's there to catch it because he can't see the field.
Okay. I like it. So, and then we'll move to our last piece of news, and that is Darius Geis. So two Washington football team members have been cleared today. Darius Geis got cleared. I like it. He's going to be first back there. I think it's going to be a committee. Or somewhat of a committee. He's going to get the majority of the carries. I think I have him projected for around 180 carries, and then AP around 100 range. So I definitely think that, as long as he can stay healthy, we saw it in college coming out, he was expected to be a solid running back. So, fantasy wise, what's his ADP?
So right now his ADP in a standard league is actually 67, which makes him the wide running back 28 off the board, going just behind Raheem Mostert, who we just spoke of, right before Kareem Hunt, and Kerryon, DeAndre Swift, Damian Williams.
Ooh.
Again, Raheem Mostert was one behind Todd Gurley, so it's possible Todd Gurley could fall to at this point. Are you taking Todd Gurley, Raheem Mostert, or Darius Geis?
You just named him in order. That's how I'm going.
So you're following the ADP on those?
On that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take – I would take – another question, Kareem Hunt or Darius Geis? I would take Kareem Hunt, especially in a PPR league.
Right now, with it sitting how it is, I probably honestly would take Darius Geis. Depending on how my team's built out, if I need more of a flex player or more of a solid running back, I think I'd take Darius Geis, being that there's been no camp talk. I know there's been the talk of Kareem Hunt sitting in Zoom meetings with the receivers for the Browns and him possibly playing out of the slot and lining up as a receiver this year, which would give him a really unique fantasy value.
Yeah, so I apologize. So in PPR, Darius Geis's ADP is 77 and running back 34, so a bit lower. And Kareem Hunt jumped all the way up or is at that RB 26, 54 ADP.
Okay, we were talking standard. So.
Yeah, so, but I apologize. I asked PPR. So in PPR league, you got J.K. Dobbins right in front of him, RB 33, Tevin Coleman right behind him, RB 35.
I'm not taking Dobbins this year. And Coleman's I've finished my San Francisco projections, and Coleman's sitting in a peculiar spot. Mm-hmm. It's pretty close to where they have him right there. And so I have to finish Washington and see where I have him finished lined up at and see give you guys a better answer. I think they're actually pretty close to each other. And
yeah,
if I got to that position and only one of them was there, I'd take him. I like the opportunity guys has in the upside. I think that he's lower this year because he hasn't been consistent and been able to play a 16-game season. So if he has that opportunity, no one knows what he can really do. So by that draft pick, I'm taking a risk.
Yeah. So that'll do it for today's news. That was a lot.
Yeah.
We went all the way to H, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. That's a lot. It was like 8, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Yeah, it's 8. I can count and I can
almost got to I.
Say my alphabet. So anyways, let's get into a segment that I think is going to be a great one.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so John and I were spitballing segments earlier yesterday, and we were trying to figure out something that we could do, something quick that we could do to give you some value in the upcoming, since it is draft season and in your upcoming drafts. So what we came up with is a little draft or pass based on their ADP. Who are we taking? Nice. Yeah.
You know, gotta add some tunes to it. We'll get it soon.
Yeah, we'll get it. But yeah, so we're going to talk about some players that kind of have question marks around them. You know, some that maybe people are maybe a little bit uneasy on.
Yeah, some players that could be really hot this year or could be really not.
Yeah. Hot or not.
Another answer, another title we could use.
There we go.
Yeah.
So let's get into we're going to alternate back and forth. So let's get into my first draft or pass, and that is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. John, you're on the clock. Draft okay. or pass?
Are we doing standard or PPR?
Let's Both. Stick with PPR for now.
Stick with PPR. So in PPR, he is actually going right now at running back 14, draft pick number ADP 22, mm-hmm. which is right in between Aaron Jones and Todd Gurley. Right there, I'm taking Aaron Jones if he fell to me, and if not Aaron Jones, Todd Gurley. So that is a pass for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. A couple other players that are going that aren't at the running back position there. George Kittle's right there at the 24 spot. Chris Godwin right in front of him at the 20-21 area. But yeah, Todd Gurley directly behind him at RB 14, 22, or 22.2 technically. I'm grabbing Todd Gurley. I think that Helaire could, you know, he obviously he's on the best offense in the league. So he could explode. But I think with Damian Williams there, they'll get him accustomed to it. It may be, you know, quicker than people are thinking, but I'm going to pass and go to Gurley as well, or one of the other options. John, hit me with a question.
So Mike, my first draft or pass for you is going to be actually Chris Carson.
Ooh.
Someone who's shared a backfield a little bit with Rashad Penny last year. So are you confident taking him right now? And at PPR, he's running back 19, ADP 32.
No.
You are not taking
I'm
Chris
staying
Carson.
Away.
And why is that?
He has fumbling issues.
Okay.
You know, we saw him.
Can't argue.
Yeah, yeah. I think he had 7 fumbles last year, I believe is what he had. And I just don't feel comfortable in that situation. You know, with Pete Carroll there, pulling him off the field, disciplining him, giving him a little smack on the wrist because he fumbled. And he's had fumbling issues throughout his career. Le'Veon Bell actually is going right behind him at RB 20. And actually, isn't that a little sneak peek?
It is a little sneak peek. So, hint.
Yeah. So,
pay attention later, guys.
Anyways, yeah, at ADP 30. Right at 33 as well, that 32.9 spot. Le'Veon Bell is going there. They just drafted Mekhi Becton to add to that offensive line. So I'm going to grab him, or I'll grab, you know, Allen Robinson is there as well, ADP 34. So I might avoid the running back spot at that position and just go Allen Robinson.
It depends how your draft's going at this point. We're pick 32, so you're talking beginning of the third round or end of the third round. So, you know, you could be heavy in the RB and really need a receiver at this point, or you could need that running back. But
even if I need the running back, I'm passing.
I'm passing on Chris Carson myself. Again, I'd be picking up Le'Veon at this point, maybe David Johnson even, over Chris Carson. And I'm not a big David Johnson lover this season. But even Melvin Gordon, who's someone who's going to be doing a shared backfield with Philip Lindsay and running a new scheme that he's not used to, I'd probably take him over Chris Carson. And that's because I have a lot of faith in my boy Rashad Penny to eat up at that backfield. Not take it over, but eat it up just enough to not make Chris Carson the most relevant player.
You think he'll finally get into the mix?
Oh, no, not enough. Really? But just enough to not make Chris Carson that value at 32.
Yeah.
You know, right now that's good. Makes him RB19. I'd like to see Chris Carson down there in the 30s.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Anyways, let's get into the next drafter pass. And this is a pretty
we're getting deep.
Yeah, we're getting really deep. But I definitely think that it's a good one because he's coming off an injury. You know, he's still injured. Might start the training camp on the PUP list. If he's on the PUP list at the beginning of the season, obviously he misses the first six games. Alshon Jeffrey, draft or pass, John?
You know, right now he's going at the ADP in a PPR league of 164, which means he possibly could go undrafted depending on how the draft swings in your leagues. At that point, I mean, realistically, he's someone who you could pick up. I don't really like the Eagles offense as far as fantasy value, just because as great as Carson Wentz can be, it gets peppered all over the field to where it's hard to pick a clear number one. They get plagued with injuries. So I try to avoid that offense unless someone's having a great year and I can pick him up late and maybe get a good trade on him. So I'm passing on him. And in my 14th pick, I'm picking the wildest wild shot that's still on the board. And at 160, it can be anyone. If you have the highest upside at any player that you think might have the great opportunity, you can take them. This is where you pick your undrafted sleeper that you don't want to hit the waiver wire.
Like Alan Lazard?
Like Alan Lazard, someone who Aaron Rodgers has talked extremely great about.
He showed it last year. Trust him.
Had a handful of great games. You know, you've got even Robbie Anderson, who's going over to Carolina, who's been trying to get that breakout game and breakout season where he's really a fantasy guy. And maybe he finds a spot in Carolina. I don't really think he does, but it could be someone that you've found to have that opportunity there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Larry Fitzgerald's around there too. You know, and he had a, you know, quiet, decent season last year. He's always
Hunter Renfro's going at 218.
I do like Hunter a lot. I have him in a couple dynasty leagues, and you know he showed some big flashes last year at the end of the year. So, you know, we saw him in college, and he was, you know, he always worked hard and made himself, you know, available, open, put himself in the good great situation. So, he's a good one there.
My boy Rashad Penny's going in that area.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to pass on Alshon Jeffrey this year just due to the injury concerns, and I'd rather grab that high upside sleeper like you were saying. John, you got one for me?
I do. So coming in at my second one, we've got at ADP 37, making him wide receiver, number 14 off the board, Mr. Boomer Bust himself, Amari Cooper.
Like you said, boom or bust. But I like his upside. And I'm looking at the receivers going around him. It hurts.
Low.
Yeah, it hurts my heart. I mean, high upside or higher end, you know, he's being drafted as a high end wide receiver too. And I mean, I think he'll be a wide receiver one this year. but it hurts my heart because Calvin Ridley's right there, that wide receiver 16, and I have him, you know, ranked so high this year. Yeah. But I think I'm going to draft him. And here's why. I think that you've got he was clearly, you know, obviously you've got Michael Gallup, you've got CeeDee Lamb, but I feel like Amari Cooper, they lost Jason Witten. Amari Cooper is going to be that, you know, safety net that Dak can go to.
And they paid the man.
They
paid the man. As we see with Dak's contract situation, they are stingy. So the fact that they want to pay the man means that they're going to get their dollar value out of him.
Yeah. So
he's going to be their number one targeted receiver this season.
And he may, you know, there's going to be weeks that you're like, damn, why did I draft him? But then there's, you know, kind of like last year, he's going to have his ups, he's going to have his downs, but you know, he's going to have more ups than downs.
Yeah. And if he was an ups only kind of player, you wouldn't be finding him down here at the 14th wide receiver off the board. If he was an ups only receiver, he'd be one or two.
Right. And I think his ceiling is a top five receiver.
Absolutely.
You know, top four, you know, potentially.
Depending how he clicks, you know, if he has a handful of up games in a row, great. You kind of just got to look at the defenses he's playing against, but then you'll find it really isn't defense dependent. It's more dependent on whether or not he wanted to show up. He missed a lot of games last season where he was playing against lower tier defenses, and those were some of the games where he really sat down and didn't really put up the stats that he wanted.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Last year, he finished 34th overall, which is a pretty pretty decent season. Let me see here. He finished as the wide receiver 10. So in front of that, you know, he's low end wide receiver 1 last year. So I definitely think he'll get probably around that spot this year.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, anywhere over 12 for wide receiver 14, I think would be a pretty good value, and you got him at a discount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last one for me to John, and this is kind of shocking to me. You know, I was pulling up his stats and, you know, in a PPR league, he is being drafted as the wide receiver, or as a wide receiver 1, a very low end wide receiver 1.
The lowest of lows.
As low as you can go. But Odell Beckham, wide receiver 12 in a PPR league, ADP 35. Are you drafting or passing Odell Beckham?
I am passing. You know, that wide receiver 12, we were just talking about Amari Cooper, who's you're finding at the wide receiver 14 spot. So I'm more confident in Amari Cooper this season than I am in Odell Beckham. At least with Amari, I know I'm going to get those big games. And they might not come every game, but they come periodically. Odell, we saw last season, who supposedly was supposed to be hurt. So, you know, maybe he's primed to come back. But in an offense that has so many mouths to feed and so many places where you have quality receivers, with the addition of Austin Hooper out there as well and Kareem Hunt coming back full-time, Odell's not the only person that's a really viable option.
In that offense,
you got Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Austin Hooper, Nick Chubb. I mean, everywhere you look, you've got talent.
Kareem Hunt.
So I'm going to stick with Amari Cooper, who's in a similar situation where there's talent all over the field, but he's more of a clear-cut one compared to Michael Gallup or CeeDee Lamb coming into the season than I find Odell to be against Jarvis Landry, who found himself a great time in Miami as their number one wide receiver and did very well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I think in a PPR league, I would be passing. In a standard league, though, I would be drafting him just because of his upside. Just so you guys know, his standard ADP is 68, and he's wide receiver 26 off the board. So, John, you got one more. Give it to me.
So my question for you is going to be another receiver for you,
mm-hmm.
Cooper Kupp, Rams wide receiver. Questionable number one receiver for the team, getting drafted at wide receiver 14. So we're still in that same range we've been talking about. And current ADP is at 39.
Yeah, Jared Goff loves him. Jared Goff loves him. And that makes me gravitate towards him. I think that you know, actually, I'm sorry. I was projecting the Rams over this weekend. And I've been leaning Robert Woods, and I still love Robert Woods, especially for where he's being drafted. But I kind of, I was like, you know, Cooper Kupp doesn't look bad, you know, as I'm projecting him. So in a PPR league, Jared Goff loves him. I think I'm going to draft him. It hurts my heart again because Calvin Ridley's right behind him at the wide receiver 16. But I just think his upside is so there's, he's got so much upside. He has been, you know, injury, prone. The 2018 season, you know, he had the ACL, tear and surgery. So, last year he didn't, luckily he didn't miss any games. So I'm going to draft him. I'm going to draft him this year.
Draft him.
Yeah.
Wow. So personally, I like to, I'm going to stay away from Cooper Kupp knowing that I can pick up the wide receiver on the other side of the field of him much later on in the draft. And I can grab another value that's still up there. And I think that him and Robert Woods are going to end up pretty similar this season. Last season, I think Cooper Kupp, you know, he had 525 yards after catch, put him number four in the league. And if you look back at his game film, a lot of those were on like barely broken ankle tackles. And I know that's where a lot of receivers do make up some of their yards after catch, but that was a lot of his breakaway runs and even touchdowns last season. And that could have easily have just been stopped there 20 yards rather than 60, on just the shifting of his own weight. And I don't know if I trust him to be able to have that body control and be that amazing yard after catch receiver. He only ran a 4.62 in college and in the combine. So he's not the speediest of men out there. So his breakaway speed's not there. So it's all on his, it's going to be on missed tackles, shoestring tackles that got broken. And Robert Woods is getting drafted much later. So I'm going to grab probably Amari Cooper right again. Hopefully he fell to me. And again, if not, you've got
Calvin Ridley right there.
Calvin Ridley right behind him. And I'm not going to be upset about any of that.
Yeah. No, I can see that. You know, you made quite a great argument. So, yeah, I think you... You know, there, like you said, there are other values there. So, you know, passing on him may not be the worst thing, and grabbing Robert Woods later is great. But, like I said, after I statted him out this year, I wasn't high on him. But you know, now looking at what he did last year, what he's done in his past, I think I'm going to draft him.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get value for him. It's just someone that I personally don't like, and it's not that I don't like him. If he fell to me, you know, at the 20, I'd be like, wow, look at this value. I have to take him. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of in that range where I might like someone else.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. It's a difficult one, a difficult decision to make. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that was draft or pass. Now let's move on to the meat and potatoes. The meat and potatoes.
The steak. Steak and eggs?
Just meat and potatoes? Yeah, I like meat and potatoes.
Hearty.
Yeah, I've only had steak for breakfast once, and I hated it.
Oh.
I hated it.
No.
Yeah.
Show canceled.
Let's get into our 2019 Outliers segment. I think it's going to be a good one. I was looking over some Outliers, and real quick, for any of those who don't know exactly what we're talking about, just any person who had a either overall season or, you know, a handful of games that really boosted their fantasy value, mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be an outlier. Anybody who had, you know, a record-breaking season, something like that.
You're saying those records can't be broken again?
I just don't think 2 years in a row.
I mean, we'll talk about Michael Thomas's catches.
You got him? Is that one of yours?
No, he's not on this because I did not predict him to do that again. But he is fairly close.
Yeah, no, I have him pretty high as well. I mean, but anyways, John, you want me to get started? Or do you... Actually, you go first.
Okay. So we were doing our projections, and we found a lot of interesting things going on between some players. And when I was going through, one of the first receivers I went across that I was like, wow, this guy's kind of hard to predict what he's doing. It was actually Stephon Diggs. Last season, he had a complete total of 6 touchdowns, but yet he did happen to, I apologize. He did happen to have a game with 3 touchdowns in that one game on 7 completions, meaning that in the other 14 games he had, he totaled 3 touchdowns on his 80 completions. So that just leads me to believe that on a 14 game, you know, on his 15 game average, if I took that outlier game from him, took his 14 game stats, broke it down to an average per game, and then applied that to a 16 game point total, meaning that he even gets that 16th game that he ended up sitting out, that would move him all the way down in a PPR league from wide receiver 21 to wide receiver 36.
Oof.
And you're taking a huge hit, and that's, you know, saying that he never caught those 7 or those 3 passes that game. And something I found out that he actually was ranked number 120 on red zone receptions. Do you know when he had this season?
Hit me with it.
1.
Oh, wow.
1 catch, 1 of his touchdowns of 6, they were actually in the red zone. He is a deep threat receiver who makes his money on breakaway speed, being shifty in the open field and getting away from everyone. So he didn't find that with the Vikings. He was getting great dots from Kirk Cousins, but he just wasn't doing anything with him. He would either get caught as soon as he got the ball. He didn't have much for a yard after catch. I think he was ranked in the 40s. So I think that something that we're going to find is actually this season coming into it, you know, he's at the new team, new offense, with a different quarterback.
Less accurate quarterback.
Less accurate because of the skills of the receivers that he had. You know, not saying Madden's real life, but he was actually ranked with a higher throwing.
Oh, God, don't even bring them in.
Higher throwing power than Patrick
Mahomes.
People
aren't even going to listen to us now.
Josh Allen. Josh Allen's someone who has a really great deep arm, regardless. And if you watch any of the tape, it's there. So hopefully, just like how Patrick Mahomes can throw up a deep ball, he doesn't have the speed of Tyreek Hill, and he's not going to be able to get underneath of it like Tyreek Hill. But once Josh Allen is able to get that ball to his receiver, he is someone who can get away from that defender who's right there.
Very shifty.
And take it to the house or break it deep. So I think even though I'm saying that Stephon Diggs' touchdown totals last season were inflated due to that one game, and that without that one game, he would have fallen pretty low, he's still someone I'm pretty high on this season, going into this new offense and being the clear-cut number one for him. So still a great player to draft, but just keep in mind of what you're getting and take my, you know, my account to yourself and be like, wow, I don't know if I trust him now.
Yeah. Yeah. When this guy's comparing Madden players to freaking,
I just said,
anyways, I'll get into my first one. And a lot of people are going to hate me, I think, for bringing this up, and don't get me confused by saying that he's not, one, not a great quarterback, because obviously he is. And two, not a great fantasy quarterback, because obviously he showed he was last year. But Lamar Jackson's touchdown percentage. So for those of you who don't know, you take the number of touchdowns he threw last year, and you divide that by the number of attempts, and that's your touchdown percentage. And he was all the way up at 9. I looked back 10 years. You know, the league has been going into more of a pass-heavy offense. So, you know, 2009, I was still in high school. I think I just got my driver's license that year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyways, I was young. Definitely a lot better looking than I am now. But, anyways, one time has anybody else thrown a 9% touchdown rating? Which, I mean, one, that's crazy. But that's not really the stat I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is what they did the next year. And if you take all of the touchdown, if you average out the touchdown totals or touchdown percentage totals from the last 10 years, and then the touchdown percentage from the following year, and you take all those quarterbacks and you average them out, 7.66 was the average for the number one, for the person who threw the, who had the highest touchdown percentage. The following year, their average was 4.97. So that's quite a bit of difference. And only one time in that 10 years, and it was Aaron Rodgers, did they finish as the did they throw again the number one touchdown percentage? I don't know if I'm making myself clear. Do you know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, I'm keeping up. What you're saying is the top touchdown thrower, you know, the next season, it statistically says that they take a big hit going from the 7.66 down to the 5.2.
4.97.
4.97.
Close enough.
So you're saying that you're not expecting him to be throwing as many touchdowns and as little completions.
I'm not. Unless they throw the ball more. You know, I don't. He threw 36 touchdowns last year. I don't see,
which led the league.
Yeah, and I.
So you think throwing the ball more and not just more accurately?
I think that one. I don't think, because they're a run first team. You know, I think they're going to be around that. They threw 400. He had 401 attempts last year. I think he's going to be around, maybe a little more with a little less rushing, maybe. But he's not going to complete or throw as many touchdowns. I mean, it's not. But another great fantasy stat, and this is what I like, because right now he's going as the quarterback two behind Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Big Daddy himself.
Yeah. In the last 10 years, the number one fantasy ranked quarterback did not fall outside the top 12 except for twice. So
that's really good. Confident.
Right. So, and three out of 10 years, they finish as the quarterback two. And five out of those years, they finish as the quarterback seven or higher. So, you know, he's being taken as the quarterback two. I'm going to, with Lamar, I'm probably going to stay away from him. The biggest reason, he was a fantasy asset last year is because he was drafted so late, last year. So he was winning people leagues because he was drafted as late as he was. What are you thinking about? Do you think that are you going to take him at all this year?
No, I personally never draft a quarterback that high unless he falls to me by at least five or six picks from, you know, where they're sitting. I need to have at least two running backs or two receivers before I feel comfortable taking, or two running backs, two receivers, or one at each spot. I need to have security there before my quarterback, even if it's Lamar Jackson, because if you're taking a quarterback that early, if he gets hurt, you're not replacing that value with a streamer.
Yeah,
you took him that early because he's putting up that many more points than the next best guy. So no, I'm always going to stay away from him.
Yeah, yeah. He last year, just to give you guys a perspective, he was drafted as the ADP 88 overall, quarterback 11. This year, ADP 17, quarterback 2. Like John said, if I'm at the turn and I or close to the turn, and I can get him in the early to mid third,
yeah,
I'll take him there. Because, like you said, you get your running back and you get your wide receiver. But overall, I'm probably staying away from him if he's going in that second round.
Yeah, absolutely. Great guy, great quarterback.
Great, amazing quarterback.
Insane fantasy asset, but just not a position where I'm willing to take that much value and spend that much value on it.
Right.
Even for as great as he is. One question I do have to ask, though, is, do you not feel that his rushing ability creates his touchdown percentage being as high as it is, and the way that he opens up the field and throws on the run as he's about to break the line of scrimmage, pulling linebackers down, opening up the field?
Oh, I think receivers, it does
more.
100%.
Do you think they're going to be able to, defenses are going to scheme out of that this season?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't win the Super Bowl. Somebody did something right.
Titans killed it.
So, yeah. I do think, you know, they'll figure him out. You know, there's smart coaches around the league. So, you know, they'll figure it out. So,
Okay. Just a quick question I'd ask for you.
Let's rapid fire these last two outliers.
All right.
One from me, one from John.
Okay. So I'm going to move right into mine. Guy I have going up right now is someone we talked about earlier. Hint, hint, wink, wink. We got Le'Veon Bell Last season, he was his first season with the Jets. He had just come off his year off after sitting out the season with the Steelers, asking for that big money, and ended up taking a little less money with the Jets. His yards per carry last season were the absolute worst of his career since his rookie season, and that was at a 3.22 average per carry. Going all the way back to 2014, he averaged a 4.7, a 4.9 in 2015, 4.88 in 2016, and a 4.22 in 2017. So this guy is someone who generally averages in that mid to high 4.04 yards per carry range, as well as his elite run pass catching, has 100-plus receptions at every time he plays more than 100-plus targets every time he plays more than six games, at least with the Steelers. I think what hurt him the most this season was that he was coming into a brand new offense. He came off that year off, new coach and Adam Gase. Don't really like Adam Gase. Don't think he's the best fit. But I do know that both of them are playing for their contracts next season. I think if Adam Gase has a bad season, he's gone. Le'Veon Bell's contract's up at the end of this season, and they're going to either be extending him, hopefully, or shipping him off for free agency.
Yeah.
And then last year, running behind the line, he actually was great at had his offensive blocking graded as the 62nd worst as far as running backs, meaning that on his rushing attempts and the blocking that he was provided, it was ranked 62nd in the running backs. They added Mekhi
Out of all running backs. I get it.
Yeah, so okay. Out of all running backs in the league, on the carries he had, on those plays themselves, the blocking grade was so low as ranked 62nd.
And there's only 32 teams in the league.
There's only 32 teams. but with the addition of Mekhi Becton, who's a 6'7 monster, I was watching some of his draft highlights this season, and he's bullying people. He's just throwing him around. I watch him throw this guy to the ground and just hold one arm on him and watch the play from the sideline.
I just want to be 6 foot.
It's nice. but so Sam Darnold's hopefully coming into his third season and healthy. You know, not going to be having that mono issue. That's not something that was even a physical injury that you need to worry about in the future. And they shipped off all their other receivers. And besides Jamison Crowder, Quincy Enunwa's still there, but he's someone that's been injury plagued. They added Breshad Perriman. They added Denzel Mims. So you really just have Crowder, Herndon, and Bell as the people that were there last year for Darnold to rely on. And I think it's the Bell-Darnold connection is going to be pretty good this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that 3.2 yards per carry percentage is something you're not going to see. And with the amount of the over 250 attempts that he got last season, would put him at over 1,000 rushing yards when he ended the season with 789.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, and I should have clarified at the beginning, outliers don't just mean, you know, record-breaking seasons. They could also be bad seasons.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what actually my next guy, I was going to get into Aaron Jones and his 16 rushing touchdowns last year, which I don't think is repeatable by him.
That's because of a 5-touchdown game. That's, again, just like Stephon Diggs, something you can't count on.
So a 4 rushing touchdown game.
I'm sorry.
But same team though, Devontae Adams, his touchdown percentage, the last 3 years when he became very fantasy relevant, respectively in 2016, 9.9%, 8.5%, 7.7%. Last year, he dropped all the way down to 3.4%. That might be a 9. I've got really bad handwriting, so it's between that three. It's either a 3.4 or 3.9%, which is very low for him.
Especially with the fact that he had 16 red zone receptions last season, which actually ranked him number 3 in the entire NFL, meaning he was catching that ball so close to the end zone, which might have even inflated the fact that, you know, Aaron Jones had all those rushing touchdowns, took away from those passing attempts at that 4 to 5 yard line.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the stats I had for Aaron Jones.
Let's hear it.
Inside the 10, he had 17 touches, 10 touchdowns.
He's a beast.
Yeah, well,
he's a beast.
Or, I'm sorry, that was inside the 5, man. Oh. I mean, 17 touches, 10 touchdowns. That's a ton. But anyways, I'm getting off topic. Last year, or 2016, Devontae Adams finishes the wide receiver 7. 2017, as a 12-3 in 2018, and that was in a standard league. I think he's, you know, going to be up in that high-end wide receiver 1 range. That's where he's being drafted. I definitely agree with it. If you can grab him, I think he's going typically in the beginning of the first round, approximately.
Yeah, I mean, right now in PPR, he's actually going at wide receiver number 2 at ADP 9. So you're going to be grabbing him first round, end of the first round. Are you comfortable with him being the second wide receiver off the board?
If I'm going zero RB, I'll gladly grab him as my wide receiver 1. Yep. So,
okay.
You
would take him over Tyreek, Julio, or DeAndre Hopkins, or Chris Godwin, or Kenny Golladay. All of those players, I think, could end up as the wide receiver 2 this season.
I would probably take. It's hard. Right now I have him projected for 9 touchdowns next year, just over 1,200 yards. So I would have to see how it compares to Julio. Julio is probably the only one that I'm, hesitant. But yeah, I'd be comfortable with taking him, depending on what strategy I'm going with. But I definitely think his touchdown percentage is going to, skyrocket into that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's way too low for where it ended last season, and that's why we had the show.
So, but anyways, that's our 2019 outliers.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good show.
Pretty good. Hopefully you guys got some useful information out of that. We just tried to pick up some weird things that we found as we're finishing up our projections.
So let's get into the beer of the day.
Yummy.
Oh, that just sounds so good. Just so you guys know, we created that. We're
custom made.
Yeah, proud of that. That was probably one of our finest moments. But yeah, like John was saying, we're drinking at the beginning of the show. We're drinking on Mountain Jam by Southbound Brewing Co. out of Savannah, Georgia. It's their Southern Lager, and it's great.
It is beautiful. It's so far, I'm finished with my can. I almost snuck out mid-show, hoping you'd get on a nice little long rant. I could just sneak out and grab another one for us.
We need a little cooler here
next time. But just on the generalness before we really get on it, it's something that it's a lager that has that hoppiness. Mike asked me if it was an IPA at first, but because it has that really beery hoppiness flavor
at the beginning,
but it's super light and super clean and crisp.
At the beginning. Like you said, I really did. When you first take the sip, it gives you that hoppiness an IPA does. But then after you take that sip and let it sit for a couple seconds, you can really tell it's a lager. And I'm not much of a lager guy, but I would drink this one for sure.
Yeah.
On the regular. I wish Southbound was like,
Right down the road,
only 5 hours.
Yeah, speaking of, when I was there, I actually got to check out their tap room. And it's this nice little quaint little space. They have a nice little outdoor seating area that has some really nice lighting outside. They actually have this cat that goes around the brewery.
That's cool.
Yeah, he stays in the general tap room area, but he's a nice little guy. They let you know that he's there on his own accord, so be nice to him. But he made my trip a little bit better, so anyone that likes them.
Yeah.
But as far as the beer notes go, this is a Southern lager. Its ABV is 5%, IBU sitting at 30. So again, something that's not too heavy, not too bittery, but has enough to give you that real flavor. So, you're not drinking some water. It's brewed with Citra, Amarillo, and Cascade hops. And then it's malted with two row wheat, articulated flaked oat, and flaked wheat, which all helps it smooth out the flavor. As far as the color, we poured a glass before the show, and it's this really pale straw, pale straw color ale. And if set up behind the lights in our little table here, you get a little bit of amberness to it, mm-hmm. which I don't know if it's just because these lights are so bright, but it's really beautiful beer, and it has a nice little thin head that foamed out pretty quickly and left a nice little ring around it.
Beautiful. So, as for Southbound itself, they were established in 2013. And if you go to their website, they kind of talk about how they were brought together. And they're two friends, and they were brought together, they say, by the passion of good music, great company, and exceptional craft beer. And this is it.
Yeah, this is the perfect type of beer to sit down and drink, either whether you're sitting in the sun or listening to some music. I know they do some live events at the tap room, and they actually have some scheduled on that if you want to check out on their websites right now. If you're anywhere near Savannah, check them out. Get some beer.
Yeah. So their website is southboundbrewingco.com. You know, the can art is actually really neat too. I believe it's the Rockies from what I was reading. It's got a cool guitar going across that actually turns into the sun. We're going to post it on our Instagram at the Fantasy Tap so you guys can get, take a look at that. But there is, also, you know, a row of
wheat.
You know, of wheat. So, kind of going back to that beer roots, which is pretty neat.
Looking back at the cans, yeah, this is definitely something I could take while I'm going hiking or
Just
want to enjoy some views while we're sitting there once you finish your hike and get that nice little perch.
There's a cool like park we have here locally, and they do music and stuff like that on weekends and whatnot. But if they allowed alcohol, I'd probably grab this beer to go, you know, sit down in a little
chair. Yeah, I might have to get in contact with the tap room and see if we can get a few more six-packs sent to us.
There you go. Also on their website, you can go and check out if you're in the Savannah area, check out their events. They've got a cool one coming up, I think on the 21st, if I'm not mistaken. It's like one of those paint and drink things, which is
fun.
Yeah. I've never done one, but you know, it sounds pretty cool. It's actually on the 22nd, of August. So, but other than that, there's also, you know, a beer finder on their website. They're not in many places. And I know that originally, you know, we said that we were going to do bigger craft brews for now. But John found this brewery and he said it was awesome. So we're like, you know what? Let's
give it to the people.
So
hold it out.
They're right now, according to their website, they're being distributed in Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. North Carolina, Missouri. I don't know why. And South, did I say that?
You did say South Carolina.
So South Carolina, sorry, North Carolina and Missouri. They've got, as well as Georgia, they've got three places in Georgia, four in South Carolina, one in North Carolina in the Asheville area, and then one in Missouri. So make sure you go to their website, southboundbrewingco.com. Check out where you can find this beer if you're in any of those areas. Check out when they're open if you're in the Savannah area. John, let them know where they can get give us their beer recommendations and where they can ask us their fantasy football questions.
Yeah, guys. So as you guys, everyone should know, if you guys have any beer recommendations from local taps near you, big breweries around the country that we could be able to get towards to us, send them over to thefantasytap@gmail.com. And if you guys have any fantasy football questions, as well as some more beer reviews, send those over to @thefantasytap on Instagram and Twitter, where we'll be able to answer any start sit questions when we get towards the season, draft questions, ADP questions, or anything like that to help you guys win your leagues. Thank you, everyone, and have a great night.
Y'all have been awesome. Love you guys. Thanks for the support.